Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, after teaching two of Harvard's most popular courses and after spending 5 years lecturing around the world, talking with literally thousands of people, my first guest has a new life-changing lesson to share, and I will tell you more in just a moment on that one. In the second half of today's show, we'll be joined by Marlise Carlin. Described as a visionary and humanitarian, she's the author of The Power of Peace in You. It's a revolutionary guide for creating hope, healing, and happiness. In 2001, a series of life-altering experiences shifted Marlise Carlin's perception and purpose. She says that what she accessed during those tough and challenging times connected her to an energy that she claims exists in each and every one of us. And she echoes the thoughts of many that we will never have peace in the world until we find peace within ourselves. And this is what her whole work is about, her book again called The Power of Peace in You. But first, let me welcome Tal Ben-Shahar. He's an author and lecturer. His classes on positive psychology and the psychology of leadership were among the largest courses in Harvard's history. Author of Happier, Learn the Secrets to Daily Joy and Lasting Fulfillment, Ben-Shahar consults and lectures around the world on happiness, self-esteem, resilience, goal setting, mindfulness, and leadership. He holds a PhD in organizational behavior and a BA in philosophy and psychology from Harvard. His latest book is called Choose the Life You Want, 101 Ways to Create Your Own Road to Happiness. Tal Ben-Shahar, welcome.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you. Good to be on your show.
Well, I loved your book. And of course, you know, these things sometimes come to you when you most need them. And there were loads of moments in here when I thought, yes, he's absolutely right. But before we get into all of this, let's just talk a little bit more about your background. And, you know, you have a PhD in organizational behavior, a BA in philosophy and psychology. How did you end up teaching at Harvard? Why did you end up choosing this line of work?
Well, I actually started off as an undergraduate at Harvard studying computer science. And in the middle of my sophomore year, I found myself doing very well academically, doing well socially. I was also an athlete playing on the varsity squash team. Everything was going well, except for the fact that I was very unhappy. And I didn't understand why, because looking at my life from the outside, things looked great, but from the inside, it really didn't feel that way. And I remember waking up one very cold Boston morning and going to my academic advisor and telling her that I'm switching course. And she asked me what to, and I said, well, I'm leaving computer science and moving over to philosophy and psychology. And she said, why? And I said, because I have two questions. First, why aren't I happy? And the second question is, how can I become happier? And it's with these two questions that I then went on to get my undergraduate degree and then went on to get my graduate degree in studying these two questions. And I actually did become happier as a result of my studies and then wanted to share what I'd learned with others. And that's when I started to teach.
Right. And obviously those two questions that you had, why aren't I happier and how can I become more happier, are prevalent because these two classes, I mean, just to put this in perspective, I read that you had over 1,400 students per semester in these classes. And to put that in perspective, that's approximately 20% of all Harvard undergraduates. That's a lot of students taking that class.
Yeah, it's a lot of students because there's a lot of interest in these questions, and there's always been interest in these questions. So you look at the great philosophers, you look at religions. I mean, they deal with these questions. So people from time immemorial have been interested in them. What is happening today, though, and the reason why there is such interest in universities as well as in organizations, in these questions is because today we have a science of happiness. So it's no longer people's relying on their beliefs or thoughts or whims. It's based on science. And when you have a science of happiness, that is, in our modern age, it's convincing for many people. It's attractive for many people. And this is what I do in my classes. I provide research, rigorous research, that can actually help people become happier.
Yes. I love that you say there are two kinds of people who do not experience painful emotions, psychopaths and the dead.
Right. And let me tell you, when I first thought about this, it was actually during the first year when I taught a class on happiness. And I was a resident tutor in one of the undergraduate dorms. And one of the students comes over to me and says, "You know, Tal, I hear you're teaching a class on happiness." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." And he said, "My roommates are taking your class." And I said, "That's great." And then he said to me, "But, you know, now that you're teaching a class on happiness, you've got to watch out." And I said, "What?" And he said, "You've got to be careful." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because if I see you unhappy, I'll tell them. I'll tell my roommates." And, you know, I actually used that the next day in class, and I told the students, you know, that the last thing I want them to think is that I experienced a constant high, or that anyone, for that matter, experiences, except for the psychopaths and the dead. You know, they maybe don't experience painful emotions.
Yeah.
But we all do, you know, it's part of life.
Yes, and one thing that I've heard as a recurring theme when I've talked with psychologists over the years is that resilience to those painful emotions, to those painful circumstances, those heartbreaking events, the loss of a loved one, loss of a job, that resilience is a key component. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. It's the key component, because we all experience them. The only difference between, you know, people who are unhappy, even depressed, and people who are happy is how we handle these emotions. That they're there is inevitable. It's as inevitable as the law of nature. The question is, what do we do when we face these emotions? Are we able to bounce back or not? And here is the interesting paradox. It's actually when we accept these emotions as part and parcel of life, of any life, and certainly our life, it's when we accept them and experience them, that's when we're more likely to overcome them. In other words, that's when we are more likely to be resilient, to bounce back.
Right, right. So I want to talk, let's jump into the book a little here. You tell a story in the beginning of the book, which made me laugh. A guy sits down with his co-workers at lunch every single day, and every single day he complains, "Oh no, not peanut and jelly sandwiches again. I hate them." And eventually one of his co-workers said, "For goodness sake, if you hate them so much, tell your old lady to make something different." Would you finish that story for us?
Sure, sure. Well, this is a story taken from a wonderful book by Dan Millman, The Path of the Peaceful Warrior. And it's about this guy who, you know, complains about his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and his co-worker said, "Come on, so tell your old lady to make a different sandwich." And he said, "What are you talking about? I'm not married. I make my own sandwiches." and Dan Millman, and then I extend it in my book, uses it as a metaphor for the way we construct, day in and day out, construct our own lives. And very often, metaphorically speaking, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, even though we don't like them and we don't realize, we're not conscious of the fact that we're the ones creating the kind of life that we're living. And just as we're creating peanut butter, you know, and jelly sandwiches that we may not like, we can also create sandwiches that we do like. It is up to us. And the basic premise of my book is that at every moment in our life, we have a choice.
Right.
Right now, we have a choice. And the choices are not, you know, grand, you know, life-saving or life-changing choices. They're the small choices that ultimately create the life that we live. For example, at this moment, I can choose how to sit down. You know, am I slouched over, or do I sit up straight? And interestingly, and there is a lot of research showing this, that the way we sit affects the way we feel.
Absolutely.
Or when I meet the next person, how do I shake hands? You know, limply or with confidence? And I'm not just communicating to that other person how I feel about myself, I'm also communicating to myself and I become more confident by shaking hands confidently? Or another choice, do I appreciate what I have right now, or do I take it for granted? And it's these small choices that we make at every moment in our lives that ultimately create the kind of life
right.
that we lead.
Right. So we're not talking about want here, we're talking about choice always. And I understand you had an aha moment yourself, which kind of sparked the idea for this book. Is that true?
Yeah, it happened only 2 years ago when I was returning from a very arduous speaking tour. And I was exhausted, and I came back. And the following day, as, you know, as I came back to my home, I had a 3-day seminar coming up. And I went to bed, and I was thinking, how am I going to get through the next 3 days? I'm just exhausted. I won't be able to make it. And you know, I tried to give myself a pep talk. Come on, Tal, you can do it. And it, nothing helped. You know, all the right. usual things didn't help. And then I said, well, you know, I'll just have to get through it. You know, I've committed to it. I can't get out of it now. I'm just going to have to go through the next 3 days, and it's going to be painful. Nothing I can do about it. I don't have a choice. And as I was falling to sleep, it suddenly dawned on me, wait a minute, I do have a choice. I have a choice right now. How do I look? How do I perceive the next 3 days? And my choice at that moment, or one of the choices I had, was to look at the next 3 days as a privilege, as an opportunity to be sharing what I care about most, material from The Science of Happiness, with people who haven't heard it before. What a privilege it is. And that moment when I realized that I have a choice of how I look at the next 3 days, that made all the difference.
Yes.
So, of course, I chose to look at it as a privilege. It was easy. Getting to that point where I realized that I have a choice, that wasn't easy. But once I realized, became mindful of the choice, then it was a no-brainer. And then I went on, you know, in the next 3 days were a wonderful experience where I did share what I care about most with the audience. And that moment was an aha moment for me, realizing that at every moment in my life, I can choose how I look at the next moment or the next 3 days.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to dive into some of the choices that you talk about in the book, because I pulled out some that kind of spoke to me right now. And my guest in this segment is Tal Ben-Shahar, PhD. His book is called Choose the Life You Want, 101 Ways to Create Your Own Road to Happiness. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Tell your friends. The place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Tal Ben-Shahar. He is the teacher of two of Harvard's most popular courses in the history of Harvard. His latest book is called Choose the Life You Want, 101 Ways to Create Your Own Road to Happiness. And before we go any further, I just want to say that, Tal, you point out in the book, this book isn't about decision-making in the sense of knowing what's right, but about decision-making in the sense of doing what's right. So you really want us to take action with these words, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So many of the choices that I present in this book are easy choices. The thing, though, is that we need to commit to them to make them. So, for example, of course, I know that I shouldn't take for granted the people that I care about, my nears and dears. But very often, I'm not aware of the fact that at every moment in my life, I have a choice whether to appreciate or not. And as soon as I become mindful of that choice, then yes, of course, I will be grateful. But it's getting to that point of being mindful.
Right.
So it's not a tough decision. It's knowing that we have the choice, that
yes,
we can make that decision.
Absolutely. And there's so many conversations, as you point out in the book, and we've had them on the show here too, about, you know, just going with the flow. But I always say there's, you know, you can't just go with the flow. There's got to be something more substantial behind it. And you comment on that too.
Yeah, you know, sometimes going with the flow is great and it's fun, but it's very difficult to tell a person or to listen to the advice when I'm feeling that, well, just go with the flow. Now, that's not really saying much. Very often, the opposite is necessary. And the opposite, as I see it, is sitting down and deliberating and thinking about the next choice that I'm going to make in my life. So rather than just flowing, so to speak, how about when I'm in a difficult situation, in a tough spot, for whatever reason, whether it's because I've been laid off or had a disagreement or a conflict with my partner, or because everything seems to be going well except for the fact that I don't feel well. You know, that's feeling trapped too. So being in these positions, the advice to just go with the flow is not really helpful. Sometimes the opposite. It actually is when it makes me feel worse. What I need to do then is deliberate, sit down, think, make the choice to right. make a choice.
Right. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was feeling trapped, because I think with, you know, circumstances and pressures from, you know, work maybe and financial pressures, people are feeling more trapped maybe than they were 10, 20 years ago. And you say it's at this exact moment when we feel trapped that we must choose to choose.
Right. So becoming more mindful of choice essentially is about choosing to choose. It's about choosing to choose and actively creating the kind of life that we want for ourselves. And there are no shortcuts here. We need to sit down, we need to write about it, we need to talk about it with people who are prepared to listen, people who care about us. And then once we identify the path that we want to take, then take action.
Right.
But very often the aha moment doesn't just come in a vacuum. It comes after deliberation and hard work and struggling. And I feel that in our day and age, a lot of time, thinking is shortchanged because we're looking for the easy solution, you know, mm-hmm. for someone to tell us what should be my next step. And, you know, we know ourselves best, or at least we have the potential to know ourselves best, and we need to spend time deliberating about what the best path for us, what the best choice for us would be.
Right. And that's one of the chapters, if you will, in the book, Follow the Prescribed Path or Be the Scribe of Your Own Journey, because it's, you know, it may be painful on an emotional level to take the prescribed path, but sometimes we lack the courage to go out on our own and take the journey that we really want to take.
Right. You know, we're social animals. We care about what other people say. Sometimes we hold other people, you know, in higher regard than we do ourselves. And while other people's opinions certainly matter and you should take them into consideration, they should be the ultimate arbiter. We should be the ultimate decision maker.
Right, right.
In our life. And again, it's not always easy because other people's voices very often shut out our own voice.
Yeah, you talk about the choice that we can make to seek validation or seek to be known. What's the difference there? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so this is a choice. You know, many of the choices that I have in this book are taken from different authors. So this is a choice taken from the work of David Schnarch on relationships. And what he has shown through years and years of research and work with couples is that the normal prescribed way of succeeding within a relationship, which is giving and gaining validation, is actually not the right way to maintain passion and intimacy over time. Rather, the more appropriate way is to know and to be known. In other words, to open up and to seek to know your partner. Because when we open up, when we share, and when our partner shares, that's when we create intimacy. And intimacy is the foundation of passion and of a successful long-term relationship. Now, that's easier said than done. It's very difficult to open up, to share, especially when we open up and share about things that may not be so pretty, you know, parts of ourselves that we do not hold in high regard or esteem. However, when we open up our beautiful spots as well as our darker spots, when we open up, when we become known and we get to know our partner, we form intimacy, and that's when we form real, healthy, long-term, intimate, passionate relationships.
Yeah, and isn't it a relief to be known as well? when somebody really knows you, that's a relief, I think. It's a good place to be.
Exactly, it is a relief because when we get to know someone, when someone gets to know us, we do get closer. We also become more forgiving and, in the long term, more loving. And having said that, if a person doesn't like us when they're really not, then we're the wrong person.
Right, right. Now, so many times we work to avoid confrontation at all costs. This is another one of the choices in the book. But you say, why not be a beautiful enemy? Tell us what that means.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite phrases, it's taken from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who wrote back in 1841, he said, "In a friend, I'm not looking for a mush of concessions, a person who will agree with everything that I say. Rather, in a friend, I'm looking for a beautiful enemy, a person who will challenge me and who will help me in my apprenticeship to the truth." You know, only Emerson could say it so beautifully.
Right, right.
And what he's saying there is that the real friends are not the ones who just blankly agree with everything that we say. Rather, they're the ones who will tell us when they disagree, who will challenge us, who will put up a mirror, you know, a reality check for us. And this way help us cope better with life. And think about it, you know, what would you like in a friend? Yes, we all want to be supported by a friend, of course. But we also want that friend to be genuine with us, to be authentic, to be real with us, to tell us the truth. While at the same time, and this comes, you know, so this would be the enemy, the conflict, at the same time be beautiful to us.
Right.
At the same time be supportive and accepting. And this combination of a beautiful enemy is the foundation of friendship. It's also the foundation of any healthy relationship. Also, I would like my teachers to be beautiful enemies to me. You know, my boss or my employees, my parents and children. You know, these are the healthy relationships.
Right. When you feel yourself sad or angry or envious, what's the thought process you go through, Tal?
Yeah, so the thought process actually begins with a feeling process, meaning I first experience the experience. So if I feel envy toward my best friend, which I often do because he's, very successful and a wonderful person, I first of all experience it. I don't fight the emotion. After I experience it, then I think what would be the most appropriate course of action. The most appropriate course of action could just be, well, continue feeling it. The most appropriate course of action could be to do nothing, or to continue business as usual, or it could be to talk to him or someone else about it. The same plan, we have three children, and sometimes I get angry with my children. So what do I do? Instead of repressing that emotion, I allow myself to experience it. And then, here is the paradox again. When I allow myself to experience the emotion, I have much more control about the action that I take. And then I choose, okay, what action would be most appropriate? Most appropriate could be to get angry at the child. It could be to take, to take time off, count to 10 or 10,000. It could be to write or to talk to someone about it. What would be the most appropriate course of action? But first of all, it's feeling the emotion. There's nothing wrong with experiencing anger or envy or sadness or even hatred. These are all natural human emotions. We don't like them, but they are, just like the law of gravity is. First experience them, and then we're in a much better position to ask, how should I now act?
Right. Right. And I think I'm going to go back to that. If when I'm feeling bad emotions, I'm not a psychopath and I'm not dead. So this is perfectly natural.
Exactly. Emotions are outside the moral domain. I'm not a bad person. No one is a bad person for experiencing any emotion. The moral domain only concerns action. And again, the paradox, I have much more control over my action once I accept the emotion as
right.
natural.
Right. Well, really great talking with you today. I love your work. I love this book. It's something that people can pick up and read as a daily meditation almost, because each chapter is one or two or three pages long. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Tal?
It's the thought with which, I start the book. I must say, writing this book, I love to write, but writing this book was a very special experience for me because I felt that it changed me. And in which way? In the way that I'm a lot more mindful now that at every moment in my life I have a choice. Right now I have a choice. What energy do I bring to this conversation or the next conversation? When I get home, how do I greet my friend, my partner, my child? And it's these small choices that we make. Each one is like a small brick, and these bricks add up to the path of our life.
Wonderful. And I should say your book, I believe it comes out September 25th, right? Is that correct? Is that still the date for it? It's out on the bookshelves. September 25th. It's called Choose the Life You Want, 101 Ways to Create Your Own Road to Happiness by Tal Ben Shahar. But you've also got a virtual, you've got a website which has a load of virtual tools up there. So give us your website so people can visit there if they want to learn more.
Yeah, so my website is myname.com, talbenshahar.com. And on it I have my books as well as online courses that I hope people can make the choice and enjoy.
Yeah. I know you're over in Israel lecturing right now. Safe travels to you on your journeys. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Vicky.
And once more, my guest, Tal Ben Shahar, and his book, Choose the Life You Want, 101 Ways to Create Your Own Road to Happiness. And please do stay with us when we come back. We'll be joined by Marlise Carlin. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967 because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at pause.org or call 425-787-2500.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Join us next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for success and storytelling insights from national best-selling and award-winning Seattle author Susan Wiggs. Vicki will also talk with former Microsoft manager Whitney Keys, who will share her five essential steps towards marketing yourself and your business for the future. That's all coming next Monday at noon Pacific. For more information, past show podcasts, and guest details, see conversationslive.net.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're talking all about self-empowerment today. And my next guest has written a new book, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. Let me introduce her to you. She is Marlies Carlin. She's a transcendent teacher, visionary, humanitarian, and author. And she's recognized for igniting an energy of peace that brings exceptional healing to the mind and body. From runaway teen to award-winning producer, her journey took her through a web of challenges and successes. It led to a profound sequence of events that shifted her perception of life and what is possible for humankind in the 21st century. And I'm going to bring her on now so that we can talk about her journey in her own words. Marlies Carlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. It's lovely to be here.
And it's good to have you here. And I want to let listeners know that your new book is called The Power of Peace in You, a revolutionary tool for hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century. Boy, don't we need that.
Yes, we do. Don't we all?
Well, let's talk a little about the title of the book first, and then I want to go into some of your journey and how you got to where you are today, because you've certainly not taken a straight path to get to where you are.
But no.
the power of the peace in you, what do you mean by that? Why that title?
That title is because what I recognize is words can be so wonderful, and yet they can we get lost and don't, and we think we're talking the same language and we're not. And so what I've taken the word peace, and you can put in its place whatever is your personal truth. So whenever I tell the world, some people will give that truth God. Some will say the quantum sea. Some will say, but when you're in the experience of that innate peace within, then all the titles go away, and all you're experiencing is that extraordinary love at very core.
Okay, so let's talk about your journey, because this is interesting in itself. You were a runaway teen. You were the daughter of your mother was an alcoholic. You had nightmares about that situation. You got into drugs. Tell us in your own words, Marlies, what all of this was like for you.
Well, I actually credit my father today for being the catalyst for my beginning this journey into understanding who I am beyond what I was told at a very early age. Because of the alcoholism and the abuse, at 16, I jumped on my roof and took off, you know, looking for freedom. And where that took me initially was into drugs and alcohol. And I think so many people today have that yearning to feel less suffering or less pain or whatever the mind is doing to us. And so we go to these addictions, And yet, of course, the addictions won't maintain whatever momentary experience we have. But it was the beginning of the journey.
My guest is Marlise Carlin. The Power of Peace in You is her new book. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Join us next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for success and storytelling insights from national best-selling and award-winning Seattle author Susan Wiggs. Vicki will also talk with former Microsoft manager Whitney Keys, who will share her five essential steps towards marketing yourself and your business for the future. That's all coming next Monday at noon Pacific. For more information, past show podcasts, and guest details, see conversationslive.net.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
And welcome back, everyone. Thanks for listening today. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest again is Marlise Carlin, her book, The Power of Peace in You. She has a lot of audio on her and video on her website. And one of the audios that we want to share with you today is one of her stillness audios. So, you know, if you're driving, don't fall asleep here. But if you are at your desk or having lunch, please just sit back and relax for a couple of minutes.
Now is that perfect moment where there is nothing more to do. Nothing more to say. Just allow the beat of your heart to guide the way. Breathe in deep and breathe out long. Breathe in deep and breathe out long. It's time to open your mind and be free. There is power and peace in you. There is so much power and peace in you.
And welcome back, everyone. I hope you're feeling more peaceful. This is a perfect example of how your work can be used, Marlies Carlin, my wonderful guest here, because the universe is not being very still for us today, even though your work is all about stillness, right?
Well, it's about peace, and we tap into that in stillness. But the interesting thing is, that's why I call it the power of peace in you. There's this energy, and the energy of peace actually fuels the stillness. So what you get is you bring it into life, and it offers you even this incredible experience of aliveness. So it isn't only the stillness of eyes closed. Today, what we need more than anything is that calm in the midst of the storm, but brought into a complete aliveness in life, so we have inspiration and passion and excitement for creating this life that we all want to live, this enriched life.
There we go. Now, let's talk a little bit about the audio that we just played while we were reconnecting with you. It's one of your stillness audio recordings. You have them of all different kinds of lengths. How different is this just to regular meditation? Is it different to regular meditation?
Yes, it is, in that what I was guided to was to develop something so simple that anyone could do it of any age and any culture. And what I discovered is, as you play this music, because this music actually is encoded or transmits this beautiful energy of peace. And so as you listen to it, you could have a busy mind, it wouldn't matter. Suddenly that music draws you in. Many people say it's even the words that draw you in. And then the next thing you know, you're going, oh, I forgot I'm listening, because you've dropped into this still place. And, you know, we all know the benefits of meditation. We've been told all our lives, it's so good, it's so good. And many people are not doing it or have given up, because they find a laundry list running through their mind of to-dos instead of finding peace. But it's so easy to say to anyone, would you like to listen to music for a little bit?
Right.
And then it just happens very naturally. And, of course, it's so much more than listening to music, because you're tapping in to that innate power that already exists inside you. So it kind of like that ringing bell that reminds you, this is who you are. This is what sources you.
Right. You've been quoted as saying, you can't create lasting peace in the world until you know it in your heart. Makes sense. Why do you think it's so elusive, though, for many people?
Well, I think it's completely elusive for all of us right now, because we've been so intellectual, knowledge-based. Everything is about gaining more knowledge. Look what they're even speaking in the schools. It's tests, it's this, it's that. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. You know, information, information, information. And what has it given us? Yes, we've developed wonderful technology. We've developed a lot of wonderful medical, capabilities and all this stuff. But have we transcended war? Do we even know how to communicate to one another without, arguing? Mm-hmm. Do we respect one another? What happens is there is a new way of communicating today. There's a new paradigm for higher learning. And how you access this paradigm is by converging intellectual knowledge with experiential wisdom. And that experience comes from connecting to that power of peace in you. Because when you're in that place of connection, you feel that loving knowingness within yourself. So you communicate to people differently, and you have the inspiration to come up with whatever is needed. You work towards solution. Imagine that.
Right.
People actually could have a totally different point of view and work towards solution. And you want to do that when you're connected to this place of peace.
Absolutely. Now, when you talked in the beginning about your background a little, and you were a runaway teen, you taking cocaine, you were doing all kinds of wild stuff. How did this help you? I mean, what was the profound moment for you, I guess, that turned everything around? Because, you know, assuming if it can do it for you, it can do it for other people.
Everyone has this stillness inside. Everyone. The only thing is, it's asleep a little bit. So we have to wake it up to speak to us so we can hear the messages of inspiration and what to do in our lives. And what happened for me is I was in such a state of anger and confusion for so many years, going through the drugs and all that, and I met a meditation master, and my life began to turn around. I began to meditate. But then what happened for me is I really began to dive in with my curiosity of everything to understand about ancient knowledge and then about healing, because you find that our bodies relate to what our minds think, don't they? And so now how do you put these two together? Then came all the new science of today and understanding that, which of course actually even takes you back to a lot of this ancient knowledge. And now let's add in the law of attraction and add in leadership, because I became, very successful at this time in my life. I was an award-winning film producer. I was an international director. I traveled the world meeting with top politicians, CEOs, etc. Then, even though I'd had this successful time in my life, I suddenly had an injury that reminded me I had lost and forgotten my journey for true freedom. Get back on your path. And as I got back on that journey and began believing that I could experience this profound peace and giving myself time for stillness, I had a series of experiences that completely changed my understanding and my life's purpose. And I changed everything I was doing and was guided to develop this simplicity of stillness method, so everyone doesn't have to spend 25 years doing what I do.
Well, we hope not.
So I synthesized it, all that brilliant experts that I studied with, and I synthesized that, and then I added that to this profound energy of peace that I was experiencing. And so now all of these elements simplified comes to you. And as I've traveled the world, I have seen evidence of how quickly people begin experiencing the calm and then even guiding themselves to their highest potential. And that's what you'll read in the book, after story after story.
Right. And a lot of people say, well, I can't be still. I can't meditate. I have a busy mind. You say, don't worry about having a busy mind.
Yeah. Don't worry about having a busy mind, because eventually, listening to these stillness sessions, it does, and I talk to the busiest of minds. I'm constantly speaking with people who go, I stopped meditating, or I only tried it once and I stopped because my mind won't. But suddenly when I listen to stillness sessions, I find it. And not only do I find it, people began having experiences of, last week I was in Las Vegas, right, offering a program there, and in literally 5 minutes, a woman had an experience of a deceased husband who came back to her because she had been grieving so intensely, put his arms around her, held her, and said, now it's time you can begin your life again. Hmm. And she was like glowing and saying, I feel happy. I feel like it really was complete. I can begin again. Now, explain that happening in 5 minutes.
Well, I can't.
That's why it's for the 21st century, because we're at a time when we can access what before took people 20 and 30 years to even get close to.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, once I was in Vienna and I was traveling with a host of programs there, we jumped on a train on the way to Croatia. There was another man in the cabin and we were being interviewed. And so we're chatting and talking about all this. And when we finished, the man was looking very puzzled, and I said, can I help you? And he said, well, you're talking about stillness, and you've been in action since the second you walked in this cabin. And I said, that's it. It's bringing it into the aliveness of today. What good is it if it doesn't help you during your day?
Right, right. You talk a lot about service in the book and in your work in general. You go overseas and work with people over there, the Maasai tribe, for example. Talk to us a little bit about some of the service work you've done over there and why that's so important to to what you're doing in the bigger picture?
Well, it's twofold for me. One is coming from the background I came from. When I saw that people were suddenly able to leave their past beliefs and patterns behind, and so you can move into a whole new potential, can't you? Because if you're dragging around carrying your life's suffering from age whatever, what's your future look like? So this really gave me a great passion to share with people how it is possible. You know, every walk of life, every age, from inner city youth in Chicago to the plains of Africa to Cambodia. And simultaneously, and this is what the universe does for us, I was given the gift of evidencing what is possible. Because I was with a group of people in Indonesia. One man began circling our group. I was asked to give a stillness program inside a temple alongside a priest that was there. But before we entered, there was an angry group of people, three men, but specifically one man. He kept circling us, and we don't know why. He was rah, 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 like that. And when we went inside the temple and sat down and I began to offer the stillness session, I looked up. There he was, waving at me to come to him. And I thought, should I do this? What is this? And something inside me gave me an it's okay. And I went over to him, and I just put my hand right on his head. And literally, I could feel like this beautiful emanation of love, you know, moving through me, moving through him. And suddenly, at the end of the session, he stood up and started shouting. And a translator ran over to him, and what he was saying is, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me what this was? I will bring my whole village. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And every one of us was like, what? How on earth could someone go from that state of rage? He wasn't just angry. He was enraged.
Mm-hmm.
To, and you know how when someone's joyous, you can feel it, can't
yes.
you?
Oh, absolutely.
So his joy, every one of us sitting there could feel it. Like he had completely, within a matter of minutes. Now, if that's possible, yes, we can move toward things we believe right now are impossible. We can move toward solutions. We can have world communities communicating and supporting and looking toward ways we can live together as a world group instead of individuals who only take care of themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
So
and something that's echoed, you know, by many, many spiritual leaders around the world, something we definitely need to move toward if we want peace.
Exactly.
We're almost at the end of our segment, Marlies, and I want to make sure we give out your website because I know you have a whole virtual world up there of courseware and downloads and all kinds of goody stuff that people can look at. Which is the best website for them to
well,
go to?
Well, I made it real simple because I recognize when I'm on the radio, I'm going, well, what did they say? What did they say? So it's Power of Peace in You.
Okay, thank you
Power
so much.
PowerofPeaceInYou.com.
All right.
And it will take you there.
All right. PowerofPeaceInYou.com. Sorry, I have to rush you off here because we're way at the end of our segment. Given the little hiccup we had in the beginning, wanting to make sure we got all of this in here. So I want to thank everyone for being with us today. You can reach me at conversationslive.net. Or info@conversationslive.net if you have any feedback or comments on today's show. And you can find the podcast up there by tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.